Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Amen.
May we hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. Kind of keep in stride here with what the Lord's been kind of speaking to us, CTK, here during this season. And season he's kind of named the season of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's for a reason, because I really believe that the Lord just wants to release a greater, right? There'll be a greater release of His Spirit in our midst, in your life, right? Personally, and just kind of revisit some things. You know, there's a scripture in Ephesians 18 that actually is a command to us, right? It's a command to us that to be. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or emptiness, but be continually filled with the Spirit, right? That's a command. So for us to be as Christians, that we're to be, and that's the a present tense imperative, right? Tense means like right now, it's imperative that we are people who are just continually filled with His Spirit, right? And I think what the enemy has done to us within the body of Christ, when I came to the Lord in a certain part of the body of Christ, and you didn't speak much of the Holy Spirit, right? It was kind of the third person of the Trinity, and you know, let's just kind of put him on a shelf. We'll talk, you know, he's important, but you know, let's just not talk about him much, right? When he's actually the most important thing, right? One of the most important things, because to make, again, his job is to make everything that Christ did for us real to us. You know, John spoke of Jesus, and he said that one's coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, right? And so we kind of just de-weirdify all those words about, we think of baptism in the Holy Spirit as some kind of wild experience, and you know, where you're just going to be up running around, jumping pews and speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of scares people. And so out of that, it's called reactionary theology. Reactionary theology is reacting to something and developing a theology, right? And so the same people that were telling me to believe everything in the Word was telling me that not all of it was for today or true. I thought, well, I don't understand that. Show me where that is. And nobody could ever do that. And the reason being, because it's not there, right? So in 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul's talking about this, he's talking about the gifts, and that's in 12 and 14, where he's talking about that. And I just want to make this kind of simple to you, because he says this, "Therefore I have made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God or in the Spirit can say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit you are all baptized into the one body, the body of Christ, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit." So if you're baptized into Christ, you're born again, you were baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, right? Meaning that if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be born again and not have the Holy Spirit. It comes as a package deal. You get it. It's all a part of the deal you get. When Jesus comes to dwell within you, He comes, you get all of it, right? You get Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came, remember, not just to die for our sins, but He came to show man how he was to live. He was the second Adam. Came to show man, to restore man what the first Adam lost. So we know that Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan, John saw, the Lord allowed him to see it, kind of the Holy Spirit kind of descending on him as a dove, or like a dove would, you know, whether it was in the form of a dove, we don't know. But he saw it, and Jesus was then baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's when he started his ministry. He went out, and Luke chapter 4 says he went out. Read it to you. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to Jordan. He was led about, in the spirit in the wilderness, the very first thing he did after that happened. And then after that experience, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So Jesus walked around, a man full of the Holy Spirit of God, right, with the Father doing his works in him. So Romans chapter 8, we read some of this yesterday, but I'm going to go just a different little twist on it. It says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. So if you don't have the Spirit, you can't have the Holy Spirit and not have the Spirit of Christ, right? If you got the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ within you. And then if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus will also raise you up. So, and then you have these experiences. You can see in Acts chapter 2 when the people were the day of Pentecost. What happened there is Joel chapter 2 was fulfilled, right? When Joel prophesied that the Lord would say one day he's going to pour out his Spirit on all mankind and all these things would follow. That your sons and daughters will prophesy, people will see visions, people will have dreams. And that's when that happened, right? God came to live in them at that moment by the Holy Spirit. And then you see in Acts chapter 4, the very same people who were filled in chapter 2 got filled again. So there's this principle of that we are people who can, it's not just a one-time thing that we get, right? Now for me, in 1991, the March of 1991, when I was a Christian, very, very zealous for God, spent time with him every day, hours in prayer, hours in scripture memory, everything. Was living a real defeated Christian life, joyless life, powerless life, right? And that's part of my testimony. It's not that I was just, had this massive experience. I was a Christian who was very defeated. I walked around depressed most of the day, right? So I was looking for something, and I was trying to search for that, not realizing that it's something that I already had within me. And I was living in Mobile, and I came up to Selma. A friend of mine came down there and went to this church. It was Church of the New Covenant then, talking about how the Spirit of God was just moving powerfully in this church, in this little house that was right over there. And I was so desperate. I wanted to come and see, what was going on. So I drove up here and he was just regular Chuck back then, before he was Father Chuck or Bishop Chuck. And he just laid hands on me and just prayed this little simple prayer. God, fill him with your Holy Spirit, right? It wasn't like, fireworks went off in me or anything like that, but something so changed in me. I was different from that day forward. I started hearing God's voice for the first time. I believe that only before that, that only God spoke only through Scripture, right? And he surprised me. He started speaking, right? He never said anything that contradicted Scripture, but I started hearing his voice. And then I started being changed, from within. When Jesus is talking about that in John chapter 4 and chapter 7, one, when he's talking, of course, familiar verses, speaking with the lady, the well. And Jesus answered to her and says, everyone who drinks of the water will thirst again, but everyone who drinks of the water that I'll give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. We know eternal life is just not something that you're going to go to heaven and live forever, but eternal life is actually a quality of life, right? In John chapter 7, he's saying to them, you will seek me and not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. Now on that day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And what Jesus is doing, he's quoting these passages in Isaiah. One is Isaiah 44, 3. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendant. This is in Isaiah 55, Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There's one more in Isaiah 58, verse 11. The Lord will continually guide you, satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So he's saying this to these Jewish people. He's quoting Old Testament scripture, right, of these verses, and saying that I'm the one that's going to do that within you. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he's talking about Jesus being the rock, he's quoting to them the Old Testament where actually said the rock followed them. So I really think that probably that would have been cool, right, watching this huge rock follow you everywhere you go. But Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers chapter 20, two different events. And one, the Lord told Moses to go strike the rock, right? Water gushed out of the rock. In Numbers chapter 20, he told him to go speak to the rock. And Moses didn't go speak to the rock, right? He went and struck it. Water did come out. And because of that, it's another story. He didn't get to go into the promised land because he didn't treat God as holy during that time. But remember, everything in the Old Testament points to the cross, right? Old Testament picture of what the Christian life would look like. Jesus being the rock, and from the rock, water would flow out from their innermost being, right? So now these people are seeing this being fulfilled, right? Oh, this is Jesus. So Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. And who wouldn't want to be? And I say that to people all the time. Who wouldn't want, right? Being baptism means to be immersed and filled. We know that is from a word where, you know, you would take a piece of cloth and put it in ink or whatever, and the whole thing, the cloth would be just absorbed by the stuff around it, right? I needed that in my life. I was desperate. I was looking for life, not even realizing that I had that within me. And when the Lord did that with me, from my innermost being, all of a sudden water started flowing out. It's what it means to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit if you're born again. But the Lord wants you and I to be people who are just constantly filled. We are coming out of this, right? How do you do that? It's by faith, right? Just simple prayer every day. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And there may be times where, you know, my experience was someone laid hands on me. Could God have done that apart from that? Of course he could have, right? But you see in Scripture, a very scriptural thing of people laying hands on each other. So I think the Lord does that. I don't know why he does that all the time, but I could mark it back to that particular point in time, right, when that person laid hands on me. And two, I think the Lord does it because we need each other in the body of Christ. You know, he could do it without it. We can get filled with the Spirit every single day because Jesus is actually the one that does that within us. He releases that water within us, Holy Spirit, to quench our own thirst, to quench the thirst of other people, right? Isn't that cool? That you have that within you right now, rivers of water. Holy Spirit living within you, just waiting for you to just say yes and amen to that. Release that, right? Paul said, constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is how you have to do it. Just be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, right? It was just a season. I think the Lord just wanted to take us deeper. He wants to take you deeper. He wants to take me deeper. Make it where it's not some goofy thing, right? Where you don't need to be afraid of what's going to happen to you, right? You get life. You get the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Who wouldn't want all of that, right? You get to experience all that Christ did for you. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ is yours, and it's released, and you experience it by the Holy Spirit coming within you. Water coming from the rock, Christ, boom, bubbling out of you moment by moment by moment, right? So, and if you've never done that, if you think, man, I don't think I've ever been filled with the Spirit, then do it now. Do it today, right?
Yeah.
Right? right now. Just say, yeah, Lord Jesus, you're there. You're the one that does. You do that. Baptize me in the Spirit. Right? If you need somebody to pray for you, lay hands on you, then somebody will do that. Be glad to. We'll have some people up here praying for you. I know David will be here. He'll be glad to pray for you. Just to give you more release, right? Not something falling out of heaven on you that you don't already have. It's something, again, within you. Rivers. Bottomless river, unending. The God of the universe within you, wanting to just flow out of you with life, right? So the evidence of being filled with the Spirit can be that a person, you know, there are places in Acts where people did have a prayer language, right? But the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is life, right? Fruit of the Spirit. That's the evidence. Not that I'm praying in some language, right? I still think it's cool. I'm glad God does that, because you really have to turn off your mind, right? And speak in a language, which I think the Lord does it. This is just a side issue. I always call it a love language, you know, because it's only between you and God. The devil can't understand what you're saying, right? He hates it. He'll try to turn it off any way he can. But it's a love language. You know, Scripture says that in Jude. The book of Jude just has one chapter, verse 24. Talked about that you'd be constantly filled, praying in the Spirit. And it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So praying in the Spirit kind of keeps you in the flow of the love of God. And it's just an awesome thing that you have, and a mighty weapon. It's the only gift of the Spirit that's just kind of for you, right? Just in your prayer time. That's another day. We'll talk about that. But let me pray for you. I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, every person of... or if a nun is born again, that today they would just simply ask you to come into their life. Receive everything that you did on the cross. Invite you to be their Lord and Savior. And again, you say no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Lord, every person in here, Lord, is a command to all of us in Scripture that we be a people that are constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I know I need to be filled again and again and again, because I seem to leak pretty bad. So thank you, Lord, that that river within me never runs dry.
Amen.
An endless ocean. So Lord, I pray for every person here right now that you would give them a fresh filling of your Spirit. You would release within them these rivers, Jesus, that you talked about. You're the one that does it. Lord, it's this great power we have within us to experience your victory. Everything that you did on the cross, all the gifts, Lord, dwell within us. What an awesome thing. Touch each person in here, Lord. Release in them. Let that water come and refresh their soul. You said it would flow over every dry place. So every dry place within them, if their walk with God seems dry, pour the water. Flood their lives. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for giving us something, Lord, just that makes your voice very real to us, that cries out, Abba, Father. Praise you, Lord. Now seal your work, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.